Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. We feel like the Lord's been talking to us through the week, and we would sure like it to be a blessing to everyone here. I wrote on the board Christ in prophecy, and this kind of follows last week's lesson, but I'm thinking about the value of prophecy, and it's part in the gospel that we believe. I want to start in 2 Peter, the first chapter and 16th verse, 2 Peter 1 and 16. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Wouldn't that have been something? To be an eyewitness of the majesty of God. To spend 3 years or more walking with Him. And so Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of that. And he says, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." You know, that was a very special thing, wasn't it? He said, we heard that voice from heaven. But listen to what Peter says of prophecy, because he goes on to say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Don't we love that phrase? The day star arise in your hearts. Oh, how the Lord wants to arise in our hearts as the sun does over the earth every day. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, this morning, there is a place that prophecy fills in our hearts. And I pray to God this morning that our hearts would be opened a little more in understanding this morning that there's a place of assurance in what we believe, that the Lord wants our feet to be solid on the rock. There are many religions today, and there are many spirits in those religions, and they lead people in all kinds of ways, from worshiping what God made to worshiping themselves to worshiping something they had to make in order to bow down to it, all of those things. But I want to tell you, do we claim that the Christian religion is the one and only truth of God? We do. We claim that. We believe that. And we not only believe it, but there is a lot to bear that out. And so this morning, it is very important for us to have our feet grounded, because you're going to meet on every corner, if you get into the religious world at all, or get to hearing the spirits of the world at all, you're going to hear that challenged over and over. But Peter says here, he said, we heard this voice from heaven. He said, we were with the, how does he say that again? We have not followed cunningly devised fables. But he said, we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 19, we have also, with that, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I want to tell you, there is something even stronger than what our eyes behold. Now, we believe in what we have seen. I have seen the Lord do things. I have watched Him do things many times. And it is very convincing. I have felt his touch in my soul many times. He saved me. He filled me with the Spirit. And you know, we all have those places. But Peter says, we heard that voice. We were with his majesty. And yet we have a more sure word of prophecy. Something that is more, you look up the word more sure, it's talking about more stable. It's more stable than what my ears took in. It's more stable than what my eyes took in. I'll tell you why. I want to read through a few of these prophecies, and I don't plan on just reading 100 prophecies, although we could this morning. But we want to work with a few of them to help us to realize what God sent to his people. You know, this morning, he said there's a more sure word. Looking at both Strong's and Thayer's Greek definitions, the word means stable in both of them. Metaphorically sure, trusty. And so there's something about things that have been told 700 years before, 1500 years before, several thousand years before, and they come to pass just like it was said. That's really trusty, isn't it? That's a pretty stable rock to hold to when it happens again and again, and it happens just like it was said. You know what kind of strength that ought to lend to our belief in Christ? We as we said, we've heard with our ears, we've seen with our eyes the Lord do things, haven't we? Peter said, I was with the Lord, I heard the voice of God, and yet we have a more sure word of prophecy. Something that was settled hundreds of years before, and it's more sure than what I can tell you. Because, folks, it was written down, and they had it, and they believed it. And the Jews knew that Christ was going to come, and they were expecting him. They were expecting, when John the Baptist came, they said, are you Eli, are you that prophet? They were expecting him. And so we want to read a few of those places this morning. But first I want to still stay with the idea of the value and the way God has talked to people. In Hebrews 1 and 1, it says God. Don't you love the way the wording is of these things? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so he tells us God spoke unto them in all kinds of ways. That's what the very word means, at sundry times. It means by many portions, by many times, and in many ways. You know, we see that in divers manners, in many ways. God spoke in a lot of different ways, didn't he? And I want to look at a few of those. He spoke through Zacharias when John the Baptist, just before he was born, didn't he? Before he was conceived, he spoke to him. And then we see where he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar the king. He gave him a dream. All these many different ways he spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. And so God, who in sundry times and in divers manners, all kinds of different ways, at different times, he spoke to us through the prophets, and they wrote it down. And we have that today to strengthen our faith. And I want to encourage you this morning that as we look at a few of these places, that we recognize, folks, we don't need to know everything about every religion. Now, I know when we work with people and things like that, there's things that's good to know. But I want to tell you, don't go out and try to understand everything the devil has put on the plate. Because the Lord wants us to thoroughly understand what he's put on the plate. And I want to encourage you this morning to delve into that and to take time in your worships to not just simply read a few scriptures. I know sometimes that happens, but let's take time to understand and know the Lord. Lord, help me to understand your thoughts. Help me to understand your ways. And even in the last 2 weeks studying, I have had some things revealed to me that I never knew before. And so this morning, that's the way it is, I believe, till we die, I hope. And I'm sure it is. You know, Moses, this is Acts 3 and 22. It says, Acts 3 and 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren." Now Moses said this, there's going to be one like unto me. "Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." I want to tell you, what we do with this belief in Jesus, our soul depends on it. Our everlasting place in eternity depends on that. So we want to take a little time to look into him, don't we? And look into what he has done. That's in Deuteronomy 18 and 15 where Moses said it. He said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And so all through those centuries, the Jews knew that there was going to be one to come. And there's a lot more prophecies that tell a lot more about them. So they were looking for this Messiah, this Christ, the anointed one from God. And they were looking for him. And so the last prophet that prophesied to them before Christ was Malachi, about 400 years before Christ. And if you look back in Malachi 4, the last chapter of it, he says, this is just before the end of the Old Testament. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, you know, the Jews thought that Elijah himself was going to come. They were looking for a literal kingdom. They were looking for the Messiah to come back, to have a great throne, and to have an army, and to have all of these things. Well, Jesus plainly told us that his kingdom wasn't of this world, didn't he? And so we begin to get a better picture of things this morning. And so they were looking for Elijah, and they totally missed him. Now they ask him, "Are you that prophet that Moses was speaking of?" "No, I'm not that prophet." "Well, are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." They said Elias because it was simply a language thing. You know, this morning Jesus told them, didn't he? He said, well, I'll read that here in a minute. But I want to read about the account of Zacharias in Luke 1 and 12. And I pray that the Lord would just open our hearts. There is so much rich things in the word of the Lord, if the Lord will inspire it to us. "And when Zacharias saw him," Luke 1 and 12, "when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias." Now, children, listen up. This is a very interesting story. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name," children, this is Zacharias. I'm asking the children. Okay. "Thou shalt call his name John." Okay? And "thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." You know, that tells us something, doesn't it? Zacharias said, by the Holy Ghost. He said he's going to come before you in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's who he's going to come like. The same power, the same type of spirit. Elijah was a wonderful prophet of God, wasn't he? He was even taken up in a chariot, wasn't he, of fire. And Elisha had to stand there and watch him go up into the clouds. You know, God did that, and he sent that same power and spirit upon John. And so when John came, let's read on here. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And anyway, it goes on. You know, in Matthew 17 and 10, it says, and his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? See, the scribes knew this. They knew these prophecies. Folks, I hope, and young folks, you're going to face a lot of things out there. And I would that you would study the scriptures. I want to tell you what, your feet can become solid upon the rock if you understand what really went on. And so his disciples said, now the scribes say that Elijah must come first. Well, how did they know that? They knew that from prophecy way back. They knew that, well, even Zacharias mentioned it just before that. But, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. What did they do unto John the Baptist? They cut his head off, didn't they? Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. They're going to kill me too. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, you know, when we recognize what these things mean, folks, they begin to settle us a little bit. Because, see, I want to read a number of other things that come in with all this. So be patient this morning. Daniel 2. Let's read some in Daniel 2. You want your faith encouraged? Read that. Starting in verse 3, we'll just read a verse there and then skip down. It says, and the king, now who was the king in back there? Nebuchadnezzar. And said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now, you know, nobody could tell him this dream. But he was troubled, he said. And so he told them, he said, well, if all you wise men and all you cannot tell me what my dream was, not just what it means, you got to tell me what it was, or I'm going to, what's it say? You shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And so, why did the Lord use these kind of ways to begin to speak to people? He gave the great king Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And so Nebuchadnezzar was desperate to know the answer to that. Well, there was a man in his kingdom, wasn't there, in whom somebody said was the spirit of the holy gods. Daniel was there. Folks, you know what? In verse 36, the king starts telling him the dream. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. See, he had seen a great image in his dream. And the head was of gold, right? And so it reiterates it here, so I'm not going to read the first part. He said, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now I want us to think for a minute. Do you remember, children, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson? What was his name? Was it Belshazzar? Do you remember what was written on the wall? He was having a great feast to his gods, wasn't he? And he was doing things and drinking out of the cups that came from the temple, God's worship. And God was highly displeased. And you know what? There came a hand that wrote up on the wall. And it said what? Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. And the king became very afraid. And his knees began to knock together. And you know what? This was real. This happened. And you know what happened that night? He wanted to know what that was, what was going to be. That's in Daniel 5 and 25. And this is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And you know what that night? You know what happened? Darius was slain. Or King Belshazzar was slain. And Darius, the Median king, came in and took over, didn't he? And you know that kingdom lasted over 200 years? And so we find what this dream that this king had, that God was showing him something, and we'll come to that in a minute. But that kingdom that came in, there's going to be four kingdoms coming up, he said. And he said in verse 42, or 44, he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now that would have been the fourth kingdom that he's speaking of here. Just read it through and take a little time to study it. Very clear. The second kingdom was the Medes and the Persians. They came in that night and they took over that kingdom, and they reigned for over 200 years. And then, do you remember your history? Who came in and took them over? And I believe the king's name was Darius when that happened 200 years later. But you remember Alexander the Great in history? The Greek? He came in and took over that kingdom, and that kingdom lasted for a long time. Now, you know what? I said Nebuchadnezzar's, that kingdom lasted over 200 years. It was the next two that did. I'm not sure how long. His was through his grandson there, Belshazzar. So then we find that that kingdom ended, and the Romans took over, didn't they? They were very strong too, just like the scriptures tell us here what's going to happen. They were very strong, and they came in and took over things not long before Christ was born. And the scriptures here tell us that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It'll never be destroyed. It'll never be left to other people. You see, Darius's kingdom, or Belshazzar's kingdom was left to Darius, wasn't it? His kingdom was left then to the next ones. And then they left it to the Romans. And we see it keep. He said, this kingdom of heaven will never be left to others. It will not be left to others. It'll never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And so this morning, I see people's eyes still not understanding. We see the Jews looking for a literal kingdom. And so Christ, the Son of God, came. He performed many miracles among them. He taught them many truths. He healed many people of their needs. He sent John the Baptist just before him as a forerunner. And they knew something was big going on. And then they sent, and then God sent the wise men. All of these things began to happen, just like the scriptures say. And yet, they looked for a literal kingdom. And yet, they looked for a literal Elijah. And so they missed both of them. You know, today people are still looking for literal blessings from the Lord. I want to tell you something. He told us that we're going to be killed and many things are going to happen. And if we expect and think that our life will always be easy, folks, we're going to be disillusioned. The Lord never promised that. He promised that He would send a peace of a kingdom of peace and joy and righteousness, didn't He? That's what God promised. And so when we look at these things, we have to recognize the God of heaven set up a kingdom when Christ was here, didn't He? Now, let's... All right. And so God spake in many different ways, didn't He? Now, let's look at Micah 5 and 2. Because, see, we could go through probably hundreds of places, but I'm just going to bring a few out this morning. Micah 5 and 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." Who's that going to apply to? You mean he's been from everlasting? Who is this? None but the Messiah. And so the Jews knew there's coming a prophet. There's coming one that is going to be from everlasting. Who is this going to be? Set up a kingdom on the earth. And they missed it. It happened right under their nose. I want to encourage us today to realize, you know what? They said... the prophet said he's going to be born Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, didn't he? And so in Matthew 2 and 1, when we start reading the Christmas story, what's it say there? It says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Why was Herod troubled that God would send a king? Because he was the king. He was the king in that area, wasn't he? Under the Roman rule. You know what this morning? He was greatly troubled. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Where is this one? Where is this Messiah going to be born? "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea." I love that. You know what? This prophet was hundreds of years before Christ. And he said, this prophet from everlasting is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so... When these wise men came, and where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. Well, I want to tell you, in Bethlehem of Judea. "For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" The Jews put these things together. God prophesied of them through his prophets, didn't he? And they knew there's coming one. And they're coming. He's coming in the days of these Roman kings. And you know what? He's going to set up a kingdom that's going to be everlasting. And in their little minds, we're going to be over all the earth. Well, I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to elevate us, all right. He wants to elevate us up into the presence of the Lord. And he wants us to show through the same afflictions that happen in the world all around us. We get sick, don't we? We suffer setbacks, don't we? We suffer houses getting burned sometimes. We suffer a lot of things, folks, because we're people. But I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven that wants to put within our souls a kingdom of peace and joy and righteousness in this world. And he wants us to reign right here. Young folks, get this down in your heart. This is not something that somebody said and they made this up. And people began to question, you know, what about this? Well, is this just a bunch of fables? Was this really written down before Christ came and all? And then all of a sudden, God says, here, I've kept in this cave these scrolls. There's over how many hundreds or thousands of them they found in there. All these, and they find that way back before Christ even, they find these scrolls that were written and held because God held them there. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Now, what other religion can do that? Because it takes God to do those kind of things. Folks, young folks, settle it in your hearts. You may not be able to answer all your questions at the moment. But I want to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that can reveal to us the truths. He sent his son that we might be saved. And so we find him here being completely overlooked. Where is the kingdom? When is it going to come? And yet it's here. And yet Christ dwelt right among them. You know that you and me can be the same? And we can be here today and overlook the fact that God came to bring a change in our heart. And he came to deal with the sin problem. And he came to give us righteousness and joy and peace in the midst of life, in the midst of many things. I know we get down, don't we? We get back up too, don't we? The Lord just rains his reign upon us and lifts us right back up, doesn't he? He does that. Sometimes it's a journey, folks. But I want to encourage us, search for him. Wise men, they say, still seek him. I want to tell you, if the scriptures are true, and I have no doubt, then folks, we're going to face him at the judgment. Shall we not be wise enough to search it out and to find him and to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness upon us, until he answers the questions of our heart? Oh, we may not understand every philosophical thing. It's endless. But I want to tell you what we can understand. We can understand the day Jesus forgave us from our sins. We can understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can understand those things, can't we? Oh, listen to what Isaiah, oh, you could just read on and on in Isaiah about the Lord, about his coming and about what he's going to be like, who he's going to be to us. Let's read over in Isaiah 9 and 6. These are subjects that could go on and on. Listen to Isaiah writing as if he saw it happen. Unto us, he says, for unto us a child is born. A child? I thought this was going to be the King of Heaven come down upon his throne. A child's going to be born, Isaiah said. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Is Jesus God? Well, according to Isaiah, he is. And according to John, he is. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. You say, well, why isn't there more Christians? I want to tell you, folks, let's open our eyes and see what's on the other side of this thing. We're getting close to the end, I believe. And I want to tell you something. There's more over there than there is here. I believe there's a lot more over there. The kingdom of heaven is abroad. It's spanned thousands of years, and it has millions and millions of people in it. And we're just a little piece of it here. And should we not elevate our souls to enjoy God? the songs the angels sing. We don't know all the words they say. We don't understand everything, but we understand some things, don't we? Oh, this morning, let's settle it in our hearts and let this stuff go down deep. I want to tell you, there's something about the Lord that He wants to reveal to our hearts. And He says here, of His king, let's see, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. It just keeps adding to. Some of us are over there, some of us are here, and it keeps getting bigger, doesn't it? Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Do you know that He was called there the Prince of Peace? And so when I see people taking up arms and doing those kind of things, folks, that's not what God called His people to. He was the Prince of Peace. He came to cast Satan out of people's lives. He came to bring peace to troubled hearts. And that means you and me. That's what Christ came to bring this morning. It's not going to go away, because the scriptures tell us it'll be here forever. And so the Lord blessed this morning and revealed to our hearts. You know what it says in Romans 14 and 17? I've been quoting it, but I want to read it for you. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. I want to tell you, don't ever get carried away with thinking it's going to be meat and drink, because it's not. He said, my kingdom is not meat and drink. You're expecting Him to come down and spend so many years on the earth and all that. His kingdom is not meat and drink. But it's already there, folks. It says, but righteousness, it's righteousness. That's His kingdom. Folks, He wants His kingdom to extend into our hearts. It's righteousness. Don't think, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace and I just keep on sinning. Folks, that's not scriptural at all. His kingdom is one of righteousness and peace. How can you have peace if you keep on doing evil? There isn't any peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage all of us. Folks, the Lord left us something here that was to be the blessing of all the world. And that is, after we're forgiven. Now, I understand people get forgiven. But if we don't go on and get filled with the power of the Spirit of God. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to be witnesses unto me in all the world. That's Acts 1. He says, in all the world, you're going to be witnesses unto me. That means you're going to have the power to truly be a witness of the grace of God. Now let's just keep digging until we get that. Until we find that grace in our lives this morning. You know another scripture. It says, and there shall, this Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who was Jesse? King David's father, wasn't it? He said, out of his roots, out of the roots of David, is going to come forth one. And the Spirit of the Lord, this is Isaiah 11:1-10. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. When is this going to happen? Folks, don't look over it. Don't look over it. The personalities, the spirits within men are very wolf-like sometimes, aren't they? He says, in his kingdom, this one that's coming, in his kingdom, he says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, little lamb, the goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Jesus told us something about little children. Except you be converted, become like little children, didn't he? Except you let them lead you by their spirit. And so he says, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, the serpent. And the weaned child shall put his head on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the Lord shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. In that day there's going to be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. We're the Gentiles, aren't we? Most of us here. I'm not a Jew. But I want to tell you something. To that rest that the Lord came to bring, I'm going to seek that. I found that rest, I believe. You know, this morning, this is not simply another religion, folks. This is God himself. You know, different places, when the Lord speaks to people, you'll hear the little phrase, the God that made the heavens and the earth. Okay, it's in the scriptures more than once. The God that made the heavens and the earth. See, that's a different God than the God that we have to carve. It's a different God than the one that we have to somehow believe is there. This is the God that made the heavens and the earth. And folks, there's so much evidence of it. It's undeniable this morning. In my belief, it's undeniable. They were expecting this child to make the literal kingdom above all its adversaries. They're expecting still a wolf to lay down with a lion, and missing the spiritual connotations of the scriptures. Folks, I've seen some pretty leopard-like people. I've seen some lion-like people get saved. And I want to tell you something. You can dwell in peace together, can't you? That's beautiful, isn't it? All the Lord wants to give this to us today. He wants to change our hearts. And I want to tell you something. If we want it bad enough, we'll find it. God will reveal himself to us. And I want to encourage us to not accept the spirits all around us that tell us that we can never be undefiled. The scriptures tell us that he's coming back for a pure and an undefiled bride. He's not looking for a bride that's all tainted with others. Okay? You wouldn't want to marry someone like that. The Lord's coming back for one where he has washed her by his blood and brought her to himself. And so this morning, I want to tell you just a little bit more about this Lord. Isaiah 42:1. Isaiah got a real picture of who the Lord was. And he says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Did you ever see a big campaign by the Lord? Did you ever see him sweeping through with great chariots or anything else? No, it was by the power and spirit of the Lord. He dealt with people on an everyday basis, and they flocked to him. A bruised reed. Listen to this. Listen to this. A bruised reed shall he not break. I don't know what you feel like this morning. Maybe you feel like a bruised reed. Something about ready to just fall over. I don't have any strength left. That's what this is talking about. that he said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And so he's not looking, folks, to quench our spirit, to take out of us. He's looking to put in. He sees our needs. He understands our questionings. He understands the things that don't make sense to you and me. And he's willing to help us on those things, isn't he? One more or two more places here. Isaiah 61 and 1 to 3. The Spirit, this is Isaiah speaking. What was he, 700 years or so, something like that, before Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Folks, if we're captive by sin, he came to set us free. Liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Do you know the Lord came to do that? That's what he wants to do. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. He's going to appoint to the mourners something. To give unto them beauty for ashes. That's the trade. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. Folks, let's push for that. Let's press for that. I have seen it done. I have seen it pressed and pushed for. Lord, I want your help. I need your help. Until the Lord rained his spirit down. I've seen it. There's one sitting right back here shaking their head like this. I saw it happen after years of mourning, trouble, distress. And the Lord changed all of that. A lot of pressing. I want to tell you, I know we'd like to say, well, you don't have to do anything. God will do it all. I want to tell you something. When you search for it with all your heart, you'll find it. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That way they can't say, you know, hey, I just started thinking positive one day and everything changed. No. The Lord lifted me out. The Lord made me stop sinning. The Lord took away my rags, and he gave me in its place those sweet things that God gives to his people. And Jesus, you know what he said after he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights? He got up and he read the scripture to the people. This is Luke 4:18-21. He read what Isaiah said. And then he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Tell me that's not good, folks. Oh, this morning, the Lord bless each one of us today as we go our way. And teach us of his ways and show us of his paths. And Lord, help our worships to be more interesting, Lord. Help it to be more glorifying to you. Teach me your ways. Help me to delve in just a little more to find your thoughts. Folks, the Lord wants to fill our lives with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You pray for me too.